Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Monday, the 29th day of the month of Cheshvan. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh, and we are just 24 days away from Hanukkah. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Isaac Rice of Congregation Anshei Chesed in Ulit, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Rice, slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Rice to learn more about his wonderful community in Long Island. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Dechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Rice.
Thank you so much, and good afternoon, or good morning to everybody, depending on where you are. We have here in Yitzhak's, in this week's parsha, Yitzhak Avinu has grown old, and he wanted to bless his son Esav. And we're told by the Torah that the vision of his eyes has dimmed, and he had lost his sight. And the Mefarshim, including Rashi, most prominently explain what exactly happened to the vision of Yitzhak Avinu. And Rashi tells us, as part of his three-pointed answer, now, when Yitzhak was bound on the Mizbeach and his father Avram was preparing to offer his son as a korban, at that moment the heavens opened and the Malachi Hasharis, the heavenly angels, saw what was about to happen. In a description that we cannot even begin to fathom, the Malachim began to cry and their tears fell from the heavens onto the eyes of Yitzhak Avinu, who was bound and looking heavenward at that moment. Therefore, as we know, the eyes of Yitzhak became weakened and his sight was not what it used to be towards the end of his life. What exactly does it mean that the heavens were open? Does that mean that if no such portal would have been created, then the Malachim wouldn't have been able to see or to watch what was going on earth? What exactly is going on here with this opening of the heavens? Shmuel Berenbaum, the Rosh Yeshiva of Demir in Brooklyn, explained that when looking from the perspective of heaven, from God's view at this world, there's never a reason to cry. Because from the perspective of Hashem and his angels, his Malachim, everything that happens in this world is clear. The chesed of Hashem is clear, and it shines across all of creation. Hatsur, tamim pa'alo, ki chol derachav mishpat. Our God is righteous and merciful in everything that he does. It is only when looking from the ground up, our perspective, looking at Hashem in olam hazeh, do we see night and darkness. Is there murkiness and uncertainty? And therefore, only in this world is there a place to cry and shed tears. Therefore, says Shmuel Berenbaum, it is only after the heavens were opened, so to speak, and the Malachim were given the vision of what it looks like in this world, were they capable of crying. And that's what it means that the Malachim cried when the heavens were opened up. Meaning when they saw from the perspective of man, looking up at Hashem, looking up, questioning what's going on here, was there a place for crying and a place for tears? But when you look from the view of Shemayim looking down, and seeing the whole picture and seeing everything comes together, there's no reason to cry because everything makes sense. Look at the words in last week's parsha regarding the precarious moments where it looked like Hagar would lose her son Yishmael. Vayishma Elohim es kol hanar, and God heard the voice of the boy. Vayikra malach Elohim al Hagar min ha-shamayim, and a malach, an angel, called out to Hagar from the heavens. Vayomer la malach ha-Hagar, what's with you, Hagar? Al tivi, don't be afraid. Ki shema Elohim es kol hanar ba'asher husham, because Hashem hears the voice of the boy. How could any being see a mother weeping over her dying son and say, Malach Hagar, what's your problem? What are you crying for? Where's the sensitivity? I understand he's a malach and he doesn't have, you know, the neshama of a human being. But how could an angel say such a cruel and unfeeling thing? What's your problem, Hagar? He has two eyes, so to speak. He sees what's going on. The answer is that the malach called min hashamayim. He called from the perspective of heaven looking down. He was telling Hagar that she was raised in the house of Avram Avinu. She must know and remember to look from a heavenly perspective. Look at the vision from Shemayim, and then things will be much clearer. Ki Shema Hashem al kol hanar. Because you would know that Hashem has already listened to the voice of the boy, and everything is going to be fine. Everything will be taken care of. This is explained in a well-known Gemara in Masachas Tzachim and Daf Nun Amid Aleph. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yom hu yeh Hashem echad v'shmecha. At the end of days, Hashem will be king over the earth, and on that day, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. So says the Gemara, Atzu ha'idna lav echad hu. Is that to say that now Hashem is not one? No, says Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Olam haba is not like this world. In this world, when we hear good things, we say atova ameter. And over, unfortunately, bad things to our ears, we say dayan ha'ames. But in olam haba, from Hashem's perspective looking down in this world, we only say atova ameter. Because everything makes sense, everything fits together, and everything is part of Hashem's ultimate plan from that perspective. In olam haba, everything is clear, everything is ames. And now which appears painful and difficult, in this world will be shown to only be good for the good at the end of the day. When we make ourselves more heavenly, more spiritual, and more like the Malachim and their perspective, then we will appreciate that everything in this world makes sense. We will trust that there's a plan and that Hashem is our best interest in mind. But we need to raise ourselves up with Torah, Tikkun HaMidos, Chesed, working on our Amuna, so that we can reach that heavenly place. And we should all strive and be blessed with the vision to have the view from Shemayim and see, to the best of our ability, how things make sense in the ultimate plan. We will now continue with Tehillim. Tehillim, Chaf Gimel 23. Mizmor l'David, Adonai roi, lo echzar. Benostesha yar bitzeini, amei menuchos, yinahaleini. Nashi yishovev. And chayni v'ma'agli tzedek l'man shemo. Gam kielach v'geit salmaves. Lo ira ra ki atay madi. Shifucha v'mishantecha. Heima yinachamoni. Taroch l'fanai shulchan neged sodarai. Yishanta v'shemen roshim. Kosi v'vaya. Ach tov v'chesed. Yirdufuni ko yimei chayai. V'shavti b'veit Adonai liorech. Yom 121 Kuchav Aleph. Shir lemalos esayinai el harim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri mim Adonai osei shemayim v'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglacha al yanum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yisham shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilcha yadiminecha. Yomam Hashem Ashayach lo yakaka lo yareach balayla Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor es nafshecha Adonai yishmor tzeischa uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam 130 Kuf Lamed Shir Hamalos Yomam Akim krasich Adonai Adonai shema v'koli tiyena oznecha kashuvos mekol tachnunai Im avanos tishmor ya Adonai miyamod ki mecha hasulicha l'man tivareim ki visi Adonai kivsa nashi l'idvaro hochalti nashi Adonai mishomrim laboker shomrim laboker yachel Yisrael Adonai ki madnai achesed v'arbei mofedus v'hu yifdas Yisrael mikal avanosav. Babur Shakola Kamas found over on the scars of Kodesh Baruch, Hima Rachim Malayam, Lachimam, Lachasam, Lachikam, Lachiosam, Bishach Lame Rafushan and Shamayim, Lachogidayam, 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 the Sol Shakola Israel, Rafuas and Nefesh Rafuas Hagur, Hashra Baros Nankariv, and Amara Nay, Nachin Kobes Israel, and assume the Torah of the Shiv Yahom, Din Bain Bayam, Vain Bayabasha, Hamokin Rachim Malayam. Yotzeim mitzar levacha meyafelah mishuvah legula hashavah zman kaviv and amara mehein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rice. As we transition into the next segment of our call, for first and most importantly, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank God, we have been Baruch Hashem very fortunate. in our community that even though things are rising and ticking up, as they say, around us, but for the most part, people have remained healthy and people have been vigilant. We are fortunate that in our community, in our section of the community, you know, people have been, for the most part, following the protocols and following the rules, and it has played out in a very productive manner.
We're certainly happy to hear that and grateful that everyone is doing well. So to get us started for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
The Shul Anshei Chesed is in Hewlett, Long Island. Hewlett is one of the five towns, perhaps maybe the lesser known of the five towns. It's on the edge by Woodmere. And the shul has about 100 families. What we like to say about the shul is that it's like an out-of-town shul in the five towns. It has a lot of out-of-town very nice qualities of being very relaxed and welcoming and warm, where everybody knows everybody and takes care of everyone, but also the amenities of a big Jewish community like the five towns.
Amazing. What motivated you and drove you to go into the rabbinate to become a pulpit rabbi?
Originally, I did not want to become a pulpit rabbi. Originally, I wanted to be a sports writer. And then when it didn't work out the way I planned, so I eventually found my way into chinuch. And I really, for most of my day, I have the pleasure of teaching in a SKA, a local girls high school over here. And when I found success in teaching, essentially, you know, turning to the rabbinate was another extension of that ability to teach and to connect and to help people appreciate Hashem and His Torah. And that's what kind of pushed me in that direction.
I'm wondering if we can dive a little bit deeper. What was it about sports writing that initially drew you, and what was the deterrent? And are there any parallels or satisfaction that you may have found in that work that you find in the rabbinate?
When I was in high school, I think I followed sports like every, you know, good red-blooded American child. And I liked good sports writing. I liked good journalism, and I appreciated, you know, reading, you know, long-form writing. And I thought that's something I wanted to do. And, you know, you go to yeshiva and, you know, things move in different directions. And you see it's not necessarily so easy, you know, to live out your childhood dreams for what your profession is going to be all the time. And, you know, things move around. I got into teaching. I'm not sure. It's just something clicked that I thought I wanted to teach Torah. You know, you kind of, you know, think you're going to change the world. You know, as they say in the name of Chaim Ozer-Grzynski, you figure out you just need to change yourself first before you start changing the whole world. But you go into teaching because you want to think you're going to make the world a better place. And over time, it's built and built and built into different facets and different avenues to teach people.
Well, perhaps what is a loss for the back page of the New York Post is a gain for your shul and for the girls at SKA.
It used to be, for me, it used to be the back page of Sports Illustrated. That used to be my favorite.
Ah, there we go. Well, depends which era it was. It could have been Rick Riley, but it was back in the 90s.
I was a big Rick Riley fan in the day. I was a big Rick Riley.
He wrote very, very well, and I definitely miss those pages. In fact, Sports Illustrated, I think, is down to now a monthly issue. But it's probably hard for you, I imagine. I think you grew up where? In Scarsdale, in Westchester? I don't know if you grew up a Rangers fan, but now you're living in Long Island, so you're amongst...
My sports teams were generally out of town based on where my parents were from.
That's a good Missouri, then. I don't know if we lost everyone listening when we go into sports talk, or maybe our audience just got bigger. But the last question for you, Rabbi Rice, with the world having changed so much due to the pandemic, we're really seeing change, but we're seeing innovation, and with the challenge also comes opportunity. Beyond the Zoom, beyond the masks, beyond the social distancing, when you think about your shul, Anshei Chesed, and you think about the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate for us as we look Yirat Hashem, please God, soon to a post-COVID-19 world?
For me, on a personal level, on the ground, just my shul, I think my hope and my initial feelings has been a greater appreciation for tefillah and davening as a tzibur and as a community together, to appreciate what that means to have and what it means to have it taken away and to have a shul taken away. and then to give it back as a gift. I think there's also a great appreciation that our shuls are not isolated islands that act by themselves. But if you live in a community that has more than one shul, you realize you have to act together as a community, and you can't just make policies for your own shul and assume that's going to be fine. But you have to realize that, you know, you have to work with other shuls and other rabbanim that to make sure that policies can be effective for as many people in the community as possible, because you're not an island. You do have other people that you shop with, that you celebrate with, and therefore you have to hopefully a greater understanding of that the role of shul policy should take into account community policies as well. But I would say that probably my greatest fear is that nothing will change, we'll have a vaccine and everything will be cured, and then all the potential growth and opportunities that we saw, we will forget about it. So my hope is that people will remember and have long memories about the things that were taken away and the struggles we had, and hope that they will stick with us going forward as well.
Well, I certainly hope that you're correct and that it's not just a flash in a pan of inspiration or a moment of appreciating the things that really matter in life, but that really will stay with us for the long term. Rabbi Rice, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good, and may the Rabboni Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily, please, bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Yonah Gross of Congregation Beth HaMedrash in Philadelphia. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.